Alaskans, wherever you are, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska, where we keep the mainstream media on their toes, and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to mustreadalaska.com, and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska. We have a very special treat today. We have Doreen Lorentz on. She is a rock star. She has hosted several TV shows across Alaska. She's been a news anchor, and she has been a champion for all things historical in Alaska for many, many years. Doreen, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show.
Thank you so much. Glad you guys have me on. That's great. I appreciate it.
Well, this will be exciting. I think one of the things that you have been a champion of is things that are historical in Alaska. You're on several historical boards in Alaska, one for Alaska, one in Juneau. Talk to me about why preserving history is so important to you.
It's roots. It's all about roots. If you know where you come from, if you understand the values of the people who created your community, you understand what happened and the why behind what happened, it gives you a sense of place, a sense of self that scientists have discovered is really grounding and really healthy. If you are a tumbleweed and you have no idea who your people are or any sense or understanding about your community and why it came to be the way it is, then it's really difficult for you to have a good feeling about yourself and where you fit into the world. So there's a great quote that says, if you want to be inspired, walk into an old building. And it will inspire you one way or another. And I firmly believe that. That's the reason we have museums. That's the reason we study history, is so that we have a sense of how we got to be here, what we're all about. And those are positive lessons as well as negative lessons. I mean, we definitely can look at our history and say, not this and why, and this is how we got there. And a lot of times we don't pay attention to those lessons, and they are just as important as the, oh, I love this, and this is how we got to be here.
So one of the hot topics in Juneau, if, you know, if folks are showing up to city council meetings or just involved in historical things in Juneau, is Telephone Hill. Talk to me about Telephone Hill and some of the history behind it.
So Telephone Hill is an interesting case study because it's not just a Juneau issue, it's a statewide issue. And let me explain to you why. When people first moved to Juneau, when white people first moved to Juneau, they saw this outcropping of a hill. It's all hard rock. And they decided that if you build on top of it, you can see the boats coming in and out of the harbor. You don't have to worry about landslides. You have a good foundation. So before the city of Juneau itself was even laid out or even named, that's where people built. The founders of Juneau lived in this place, as well as some pretty special individuals that had made a mark in history that was not only important locally or in Alaska, but also nationally. They had a voice that was important. Back in the 80s, when Alaska got all of its oil wealth and we just didn't really know how to spend it all, there was an idea that we would build a new Capitol building. And of course, where's the best spot to build a new Capitol? On the place with the best view. So the state and the city and borough of Juneau collected all of the homes in there, and they have been in limbo since the 80s. It's kind of an odd choice because of it's a very well-defined place with really steep walls. Parking is a bit of an issue. My just last statement is an understatement. It's a horrible. I mean, it's only so big. Knocking it down would be painfully expensive. And then you have all these state office buildings right next to it. So that kind of construction would just be a nightmare for a lot of people over a period of time. Recently, as in the last year or two, the state decided, you know what? I don't think after the reception, even redoing a building in Anchorage for a legislative information office, got in Anchorage. We remember the Hawker days and how that hit him so hard. Perhaps building a new Capitol building is not really what the people of Alaska want and how they want to spend their money. So they gave these buildings back to the city and borough of Juneau, who immediately decided, you know what we need? Low-income housing. We need high-density apartment buildings that are walk-ups at 4 or 5 floors, because that's where all that will be affordable, and that's where all the people can move, and then they don't need cars. They can just, you know, walk to Costco and bring their stuff back, or bring it back on a bus and then go up the hill and you know, move their way up the stairs and get to their homes and more stairs to their apartment. And this is going to be a great idea. As opposed to, I don't know, in Juneau, the people just decided that they didn't want to build a new city hall. So the large flat lot that already has utilities, that already has lots of parking, for some reason, this is not a good spot to build lots of apartment buildings that, you know, people can easily access, have parking. They don't have to walk up a bunch of stairs.
What's the average person that's maybe not an elected official or something like that? I'm sure you get to talk to these folks because you're on the historical board in Juneau. What are they saying that they would like to see happen in Telephone Hill?
So this is interesting study in process. City and Borough of Juneau hired First 40 Feet, which is a outside firm, I want to say from Portland, to do a study and figure out what people want. So what they decided to do is, instead of the age old thing that we've been doing since the 60s, when there's a great show, I think it's on Netflix right now, that tells you about it, where they actually got the guy who's in charge of the KKK to in the same room with the black lady who was like, yo, black people, let's go. We all need fair representation in schools, because a school burnt down or something and they were going to have to integrate the blacks and whites and figure out how to do it. And they came up with a thing called charrettes, where you get everyone in a room who has an opinion and you write them all down and you hear people out, and then you come to a mutually agreeable space on how to use a space. Instead of doing that, First 40 Feet decided that they were going to get everyone who had a voice or an interest in a room and then get them on a cell phone and say, okay, A, B, C, or D, which do you prefer? Knock all the buildings down and do A, knock all the buildings down and do B, knock all the buildings down and do C, or knock all the buildings down and do D. These are your four choices. As you can imagine, after the first meeting, a strong percentage of the populace came out feeling disenfranchised, I think is the appropriate word. So they had a second meeting, same system. And then people started becoming more vocal, and they were actually showing up at assembly meetings. And since the topic was not on the agenda, the first 2 minutes that everyone would talk about in a meeting was all about, what are we doing with this? And why are we not looking at keeping the buildings, which are all mostly multifamily buildings already, and, you know, building something else somewhere else, maybe doing some infill of the buildings that we have lost. But why aren't we looking at other options that allows us to keep the oldest historic neighborhood, including the house in Alaska that has been continually occupied the longest? And again, not fancy people live there, important people in the history of Alaska live there. One, for example, is the whole reason Telephone Hill was named Telephone Hill. It was because of the Webster House. Mrs. Webster came to Alaska as a widow twice over in her 30s. She had a couple young daughters attached. She moved to Juneau by herself, no husband, got a job at the Douglas Telephone Exchange, and 5 years later married Mr. Edward Webster and moved up on what's now called Telephone Hill. And they're the first place in the nation where they had a telephone utility that went from one city to another. It was Juneau to Treadwell Mine. And after her husband passed away, relatively shortly after they got married, she took over the telephone exchange and became the first woman in charge of a telephone company in the nation, maybe even in the world. And that's after she passed away, her daughter took over and became the second. And I recently toured the inside of their house, and I got to tell you, the beauty of that house on the inside, the people who have been living there have been taking super good care of it. So yes, there are some hairline cracks here and there, like every home in Alaska gets when, you know, you have a place with earthquakes. and it can use some new siding. But other than that, that house is in dang good condition and could easily made into a fourplex or somebody's $2 million home with an amazing view. Plus, it has this fun little story. And you know how people love little stories about their house? They put in a window in a specific spot in the house for the telephone exchange because they had the business inside the home, so that the operator could sit at this window and watch all of downtown Juneau. Because apparently at the time, the police guy, I don't know if he was what his title was, but the guy who was in charge of the police had several ladies he would visit at night downtown. And so they would watch to see which house he was in, so they would know where to call when there was an emergency. And that's why they had that particular window with the view shed of downtown. You can't make that up. It's a great story for cocktails. It's worth some money to somebody. So
what do you think what would you like to see? Because, you know, you're somebody who's on these historical society boards. You get to hear from folks. See and touch and feel these houses. What would you like to see happen?
I would like to see something that I like to refer to as process occur. Process. Right now the city of Juneau owns all of these properties. I think that's incorrect. I think that they should be sold for whatever people are willing to buy them for. You know, we do have a free market. And then the individual property owners can decide what they want to do with those pieces of property. If they want to keep them or knock them down, build something else, it's, you know, up to the property owners. My heart of hearts would say, let's get a bunch of property owners who want to start our HOA and say, we are buying in this area because we like old homes and we want to see that continue. And we will make our own, as an ownership group, we will decide, yeah, we want to keep this as a resource, and you can't paint your house screaming yellow or bright orange that glows in the dark, or make on the exterior changes to it that's going to take away from the historic neighborhood. I personally would love to see that. And in the infill areas where houses were knocked down, I would like to see new construction of houses that look similar in design and style to the houses that are already there, so that they are not taking away from the beauty of the oldest neighborhood in Juneau, one of the oldest neighborhoods in Alaska. I've been inside of all but two of the homes. They are all, you know, within $100,000, you could make them into $2 million home. There's a huge range there. There was, unfortunately, a engineering report that was, my understanding, was made by a intern. The report itself does not follow the industry standard for a structural engineering report, in that it doesn't report at all on the structural engineering of any of the buildings. Instead, it makes notes like, I'm not making this up, a curtain rod is detached.
Welcome to every house in America.
There's a window sill where there's some rot in the lower wood of the, and then at the end of every single house's description, there is this wording that is not in any template ever for structural engineer that says this house is too expensive to fix. Well, you can't tell the house is too expensive to fix if you don't actually do the structural engineering. And it makes comments to things like, there's evidence that at some point there was water damage because, you know, there's spots in the ceiling. Well, maybe so, but the house you're referring to got a new roof 5 years ago. And when I viewed it,
the house is also 100 years old.
The house is 100 years old, but the house has a roof that is current today. One of the houses is not on a foundation. It could be lifted up, new foundation put in if there's a foundation issues. All the rest are on over-engineered foundations because, you know, back in the day, they didn't know and they just kept pouring cement. But I didn't see anything that made it. I live in a community here in Juneau that was made in the 1970s. Those houses are in just as good, if not better shape than the 1970s houses, but the quality of the materials go into those houses significantly better. And the people who have been living in them, they're renting, Some of them have been renting for 40 years. Some of them are descendants. The Webster House, for example, when the state took it over in the 80s, the people who were living in it were the descendants of the Websters. It was their grandchildren, and they got shushed out. There are a lot of people in this community who still have those ties to these homes, and I'm confident some of them are in a place where they would be lovingly bought and then taken care of and put back on the market as, you know, you would any asset that you got, the city came in contact with. I mean, you get a boat that's abandoned in the boat harbor, what do? Do you take it to the dump? No, you offer it up to sale to see if someone in the community wants it, to put it back into use. That's what we do in Alaska.
Especially, there's already a process for all that surplus goods and materials. And we've been doing it in the state and around municipalities or boroughs, you know, forever. Since statehood.
And if you have a place like Juneau where you have a dump, I'm sure there's a more appropriate word for it than dump. I'm from Seward. We just call it the dump, that is full. It's full. The dump's full. I mean, it's like $120 to take a pickup truck load of stuff to the dump. And then you can only do it on Saturdays between a 2-hour window. It's privately owned and they're full. The idea that you would take all these buildings and stuff them into a resource that is already full, and the city's like, what are we going to do? We've run out of room in the dump. Also, it does not make sense to me.
So your plan is, you know, I don't know if you want to call it your plan, but just what I heard you say is actually pretty, it's probably my favorite plan that I've heard. I was thinking, I don't know, a month or so ago, I had a conversation with somebody that's in Juneau has thoughts on Telephone Hill. And one of the questions I had to him was, why does the city have to develop it? There's nothing that I'm aware of that is in code that says now you have to develop this. Why can't you just sell it back to people? And I think your plan highlights the fact that, you know, you could sell these properties back to folks that want to buy them and then let the private sector make the determination of, maybe I want to turn this into a fourplex. Maybe I want to just remodel it as a single family house. Maybe I want to buy three lots and try to make a, you know, low income housing. And they would have to go through the process as private citizens to get all those permits and do those upgrades, just like anybody else would have to do. And the market decides what sinks or swims in that case. And it kind of sounds like your plan probably is going to be pretty popular in Juneau.
I'm big on normal. I'm also really big on process. Right now, the city has decided to stop midstream. They had already contracted out, and then randomly they decided to stop it. Doing a historical, we call it a Section 106. Although you are not actually applying for that, it's getting all the information you need so that if you wanted to, you could put those houses on the historical register. In 85, they determined that as a neighborhood, Telephone Hill definitely qualified to be on the National Historic Register. They did not apply to have that done. There were several homes at that time on their own merits qualified to be on the National Register. The ones that didn't qualify were because they had additions to the homes that weren't 50 years old yet, and that is the mark. Well, that was in the 80s. So now all of those have grandfathered in. So those homes that would have, but for the additions, qualified for the National Register, presumably would now qualify. Now, if I am a person who is an investor deciding whether or not I want to buy one of those homes, whether or not it qualifies for the National Historic Register is a big deal to me. Because if I'm going to buy a home and turn it into a rental or a multi-use or something like that, knowing that it qualifies for the National Register, getting it on the National Register is money literally in my pocket. Because if your structure is on the National Historic Register and you take that structure, you turn it upside down, shake it a couple times, everything that doesn't fall out, with the exception of things like cabinetry, I can go and get a non-competitive forever I own this property tax credit for 20% of everything that I put in to maintain that structure. So I need a new boiler, I need a new roof, I need a paint job on it. I can take that amount of that amount, 20% off my taxes forever that I own the life of this home. That adds up really fast when you're talking about roofs and boilers and that sort of thing. And, you know, making sure the electric's up works properly, or getting a new plumbing system in, or all of those things that people say, oh, it's too expensive because it's historic, you automatically get 20% off. That's not the case if you own it and it's your own home, but it is the case if you own it and it's being used for a activity that earns taxes, so you have the taxes to write off. And then they've recently come up with special exclusions for nonprofits who own a building, because a nonprofit obviously doesn't pay taxes, but they're able to, this isn't the right wording, but basically you're able to broker your tax credits and sell it to a company that owes taxes. They become your partner in doing the enhancements.
Nice.
20% is a lot of money for the life of the building, and you can take it on your taxes forever. It's a lot of money. It's a real thing that you add into the math of, does it pencil out for this project in this place, in this building? Plus, you get to be on the National Historic Register, and they have a whole big thing. Hey, when you're going to Juneau, these are the houses you want to hit because there's to visit because they're historically significant. So in addition to the Wickersham House, you also know to pop over to Telephone Hill. And then you have the stories of all the different places and people who lived in them and while they're important. And when you visit towns like Juneau, usually you're visiting it because of the history. And the people who visit because of history are like snow machiners. They stay longer and they spend more money. Those are the people you want.
Yeah. And I, you know, the government's not great at developing land. And so, or projects around Alaska historically just have been really, really not great at that. And so I like the idea of getting it back into private citizens' hands. And I'm sure that'll gain some traction around the Juneau area. What can people do? You know, people are going to listen to this. Maybe they're in Juneau, maybe they're not. And they are going to, you know, potentially get excited about preserving historical things. Let's talk specifically in Juneau. What can somebody do in Juneau if they're wanting to, you know, show up to a meeting? Can they write a letter to the board that you're on? What are some practical steps they can do?
Yeah, don't bother with HREC. You're preaching to the choir. You would be talking to your assembly members and saying, slow your roll. Let's get the Section 106 back on track and done. Also, it would become difficult because there's a difficulty and wrinkle involved, because if you don't do the 106 and then you're trying to get federal funding, it's my understanding you're going to have to go through a lot of hoops that could really mess you up, because you're going to have to backtrack and try to get information that no longer exists. On a statewide issue, and you're like, hey, they should be slowing their roll, one thing you can do is contact your representative or your senator, particularly if they're on finance, and say, hey, yeah, I'm thinking that this idea that giving the city and borough of Juneau the $10 million they're asking for to knock down all the buildings on Telephone Hill is something that as the state of Alaska, we should not be paying for, because they do have an ask in the state budget right now.
And yeah, $10 million is a lot of money.
$10 million is a lot of money that could do a lot of good statewide, besides making level ground for someone to build low-income housing on. I know low-income housing isn't the current vernacular. They're calling it affordable housing. But in Juneau, I have a problem saying affordable housing, frankly, because they have an affordable housing thing that the taxpayers of Juneau actually funded millions of dollars to an outside builder to build some condos that were supposed to be apartments. And now they're selling for $400,000 for a one bedroom.
That's not affordable in my book.
No. So what we really need here is low income housing. And these are already, for the most part, multifamily homes that have Juneau families living in them. And we're going to be kicking them out to build multifamily homes that would have Juneau people living. It just makes no sense to me. But yeah, call your representative and say thank you, but no. You can also testify or write letters to the Juneau Assembly saying, you know, slow your roll. Let's do some process. Let's make this a normal thing. It looks really, you know, what is actually happening, I don't know. what it appears, the appearance is it's a shady deal. And people always have issues with shady deals. When people go before the assembly now and say, hey, yeah, Telephone Hill, the response of the assembly is, oh, you just live there and you're looking for cheap rent. Well, those people are now playing market rate for rent. Most of them realize a new owner, they're probably not going to be there anymore. Although for oddly, for investors, having a person who's paying market rent, who's lived there for 40 years, and perhaps would want to continue living there as a renter and is obviously taking good care of the property, would be a bonus, not a negative. But at least suggesting to the assembly that they don't knock all those houses down before they have something, a plan secured on what to do next, would perhaps be a good idea. But yeah, all appearances are they're looking at getting $10 million from the state, knocking all the houses down, and then putting them up for unknown developers to do something new and wonderful at this place that includes knocking down the hill, which is going to be painfully expensive. And then I think it's really interesting that there is a parking lot there. The only place there that's really easy to build on is a parking lot that's in the corner that you could put, you know, a multi-story skyscraper on with elevators and parking. The mayor made a comment, apparently that'd be a really good spot for a staging area when they knock down the rest of the hill. But the place that uses the parking lot is the governor's floor of the legislature.
That's funny.
I just, you can't make this stuff up. You just
that's
can't
like
make
a, that's like
up.
A reality TV show waiting to happen.
Right? So I haven't personally made any comments to the assembly, because as other than part of HRAC, and what we've been asking them to do is just go through process. And I think that's the reasonable thing, is follow the process. And like you said, having the city be a developer is not what a city was designed to do. A city is designed to do for us the things we can't do for ourselves. Their whole suggestion that they're developers wanting, chomping at the bit to get up there, just suggests that putting them on the market at fair market value and, you know, letting a bidding war go, if those developers are chomping at the bit, they'll buy those homes as is, where is, and then do with them what they will. But I'm telling you,
let the private sector have play out, just like how they would have to play out any other time they'd buy a house or multiple houses. You got to go through the city and borough of Juneau to get permits and all those kinds of things. And the public will be, can show up to those meetings if they want as well. But man, historically, cities and the state of Alaska trying to do big projects that are meant for private sector does not go well.
No bueno. Yeah, no, we don't have business in being that, in that business. And the city certainly has enough on its plate right now that they don't need to add becoming developers into it. And if you are thinking about moving to Juneau, and it is a fabulous place to live, let me tell you, some of those buildings have incredible views. And they have the old molding, they have the balloon ceilings, some of them have the old appliances, you know, the refrigerators that actually work for a lifetime as opposed to 2 or 3 years that you get at the big box stores now. Wood floors. I mean, there was the guy who owned the light fixture store in Juneau, and his house has incredible light fixtures. They have been deinstalled, so you're aware, and put away in careful safekeeping so that renters or vagrants don't hurt them, but they are still available for reinstallation. They have the old doors. It's the kind of home that if it were in any other city, people would pay good money for. And I'm sure there are people who currently live in Juneau or would like to move to Juneau. It's a great place to retire, that would be a show place and a place of pride for them. I find it really interesting that the guy who donated all of the money for the community pool that they're still using, Augustus Brown, they're talking about knocking his house down. They don't care that Augustus Brown gave all their money, and that's been the community pool for the last 100 years that they just recently upgraded. And I, as the president of the Juneau Pioneers of Alaska, I find particular irony that a lot of the people who lived on Telephone Hill started the Pioneers of Alaska, whose mission is to preserve the history of Alaska, and we are knocking their homes down.
That's a conundrum, if you will.
I think there's a disconnect there in what well, 20, it, why.
25 minutes has gone by in a flash, Doreen. Any last minute thoughts here before we head off?
Yeah, make sure you vote. Coming up, we have elections in November. Make sure that you understand what's at stake for your region and your city and your area and our country. And, you know, if you don't like the candidates, write something in, but make sure you vote. There are a lot of people who made a lot of sacrifices, so we have that right. We shouldn't take it for granted.
Good word. Well, I really appreciate you joining us, Doreen, here on the Must Read Alaska show. For folks that maybe just caught the tail end, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing. Great thoughts on Telephone Hill, which is a place in Juneau that the state used to own and gave it back to the borough and city of Juneau. And now Juneau's thinking about developing that land. And Doreen has some really great thoughts on getting that land back in the hands of private citizens and letting them decide for themselves what they want to do with the land. So I want to encourage folks to go check it out. If you listen, watch, or read Must Read Alaska and you want to help keep the lights on, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks, Doreen.